Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have James Sowers. James Sowers is a startup investor as well as a mentor at multiple accelerators as well as a crypto investor. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So can you share a brief background about yourself to our viewers so that way, you know, they can get to know a bit more about you, what you've been up to for the past
year? Sure. So I've been in the crypto ecosystem for about 8 years now. I've been investing in startups for about 4 years. I'm also a mentor at two or three accelerators different times. I'm also an advisor to a few startups. And I'm also the co-author of an ebook, Chain Reaction, Why Family Offices Should Consider Purchasing Ethereum and Bitcoin.
Got it. Nice. So being an investor at crypto for 8 years, been a hell of a ride, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs, but so far the ups are more than the downs.
Ups and downs, yeah. So before we get into that, you know, let's just cover a bit about your, you know, the startups, and then we'll discuss the crypto after, because I gave these podcasts are called Founders Grid, so they're more focused towards the grit of the startups, the grit of the founders, as well as going through the turbulence during these times. So, you know, being an advisor at multiple startups, you know, what are the top three pieces of advice you've been giving out to young startups, young founders who just started off in the middle of pandemic or just during the pandemic or before the pandemic? You know, what top three pieces of advice you've been giving them?
Right, so number one is to always focus on the right thing. So you have to figure out what the one yes is. If that goes right, your company is going to be immensely successful, you know, $1 billion, $10 billion company. So that's the yes if. And then put 90% of your focus on that. And then number two, surround yourself with the right people. Because if you hire the wrong people in the beginning, that can really kill your startup. So surrounding yourself with the right employees, the right co-founders, the right investors, the right mentors, the right customers. So basically your network. And then thirdly, never give up. Always hustle, hustle, hustle. You know, build, measure, learn, and just keep on going.
No, that's nice. That's nice. So the past trends for the past couple of years have been around remote work, right? WeWork kind of like came up rethinking office space, then the WeWork debacle started happening, then the COVID came, right? So going forward, you know, with the vaccine rollout happening at a record pace, you know, hopefully by July 4th, you know, the COVID should be behind us, hopefully, touch wood, right? But how do you see the world evolving in regards to gig economy, remote hiring, hiring beyond borders? How do you see that part of the world evolving? Do you see that there will be more and more receptiveness increasing, or do you think it's going to just go backwards once the world opens up?
So I think we have had some permanent changes that people have learned that, hey, work at home can be productive. And actually, you know, it saves some time too, people driving to and from work. And not only that, just attending conferences, because I used to speak at a lot of conferences and stuff, and it's a lot easier to do it on Zoom where you don't have to travel. And I really think the decentralized workforce is really opening up the borders, for lack of a better term, because before, you know, if your headquarters was in California, you were looking for talent in California. But now, you know, basically talent is everywhere, not just in the United States, but worldwide. So now you can get the best employees and it can truly be decentralized. And I actually believe also, you had mentioned WeWork, that WeWork actually may thrive post-COVID, because there's going to be a need with all these decentralized forces to maybe go maybe once a week or twice a week to these WeWorks to do certain things that need to be done in office.
That's an interesting thought. So then my next question is in regards to your own personal productivity hacks, you know. So living out of big cities like New York, San Francisco, COVID was a challenge, right? So then, you know, trying to come up with the own productivity hacks to go by through this pandemic, to cope up with the mental health and those kind of things, you know, what things you've taken, done in your personal routine to help you cope up with all of it?
Yeah, so I just try to kind of focus on the right things and stay positive, because obviously everybody can get down. I mean, the news and the media had all this negative stuff about COVID, but I always believe, too, that the media goes for headlines. So always, people love drama, especially if it's not their own. So it gets all the clicks and views. But, you know, if you use critical thinking and really think about it, I personally believe we live in the best times ever with technologies. And the future with technology and innovation is going to be greater than it ever was. And one thing that COVID showed was they got these vaccines made and launched quicker than ever in the history, because all these smart people put their thinking, their hard work, their resources into this. And it really shows that people can really pull together and get things done when it's really, really necessary.
Got it. So now coming back, blockchain, you know, one of the hot topics. One of my, we'll not discuss crypto, but more around blockchain and the financial industries, you know. So finance, especially Wall Street and banks, are the ones that have, that are the least receptive towards change when it comes down to technology, you know. So if you go back 3 years, just 3 years back, so someone getting rid, a bank said that, okay, you cannot wear a tie on Friday, and became a headline news. If you, you know, it was a headline 3 years back. Now everyone has been forced to work home. Do you think the banks would be opening up to all of this? Because we're getting mixed articles, you know, no, the banks want everyone back in office. But the others are like, no, we're gonna have a more and more decentralized banks and some. So what are your opinions in regards to that?
So I think a lot of it depends. It's even gonna be specific to an organization, but I think most organizations are gonna be pretty flexible, because in order to attract and hire and retain the best talent, you're gonna have to have some level of flexibility to be able to attract them. And then you certain ones, I know I've heard in the news, like JP Morgan was saying, you know, they want everyone back. I wonder, you know, if everything like that is written in stone, if it's absolute or if there's exceptions. Because if you live in the core part of Manhattan where the investment banking is, where they really might need people to be together in a room, you know, cracking down on stuff, that may be necessary. But if they have offices, and I've heard a lot of these companies are moving to like Austin and Miami, in those places, it may not be as much the case. And not only that, one of the disadvantages to not being in a workplace, like in the old days, you need to learn something. You would basically, through osmosis, turn around to the guy in a cubicle or the department down the hallway and say, hey, how do I do this? Well, it's harder to do that via Zoom and stuff. So there is some positives to being in person. And I really believe a lot of these places are going to have some level of in-person and work at home, even the ones that allow it, just for social too. Because I also think some of the people get tired of being by themselves and they do need to kind of like see other coworkers and learn from them in person. That's why I actually think WeWork is going to surprisingly flourish post-COVID.
Yeah, makes sense. So last question, I'm enjoying the conversation, you know, I'm kind of like thinking in my head, which next question to ask, but then there's a clock running on my top right corner. So I need to watch, because my marketing team forced me to keep all of them within 12 minutes. So my last question would be around, apart from the currencies, the use cases of blockchain, the top two use cases do you see happening in the next couple of years?
So one that a lot of corporations are quietly using are to authenticate, track, and trace. So you can basically take something on the blockchain that needs to be tracked. For instance, let's say, you know, organic food. You know how like all the people with ESG, that, you know, they want to know it came from an organic farm. They want to know the entire supply chain, that nothing was tainted and it's truly organic and ESG. You could actually use blockchains to do that. So that's one great use. And someone can scan the QR code and literally see the entire history of the supply chain. So that's kind of happening now. And I really think that's in the future really going to be a big thing to corporate use. And there's a lot of blockchains as a service coming up. So you don't have to run a node anymore, have your own consensus mechanism. So taking the friction away from it that everyday people can use it, I think is really the future. And I know with the NFTs, you know, there's a lot of hype right now around the prices and everything, but the technology of NFTs and the certificate of authenticity, I think the future is it being used to even authenticate yourself as your digital identity and things of that nature.
Interesting. James, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll stick around for some offline conversation, but for the podcast, you know, we have to keep it within 12 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show, and take care of yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Edward.